Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation, recorded live during the May 2022 Home Education Conference held in Morristown, Tennessee.
Thanks for coming. I'm Rachel Spigarelli, and this is How to Have a Miserable Homeschool Day. And as most speakers do, they describe their qualifications. So maybe I could begin telling you about my most miserable homeschool days to convince you that I'm qualified to talk about how you might also feel on your miserable homeschool days. So I hope you guys will start thinking about some of your miserable times, and let's talk about it together and what's worked for you, and I'll share what's worked for me, and we can collaborate a little bit. I know that miserable times have happened when I've done this. Oh, you know, we have about 10 minutes, eight minutes, 15 minutes of math, we can probably fit it in. And no, we're not going until you finished all these problems, and you'll stay right here and no, get the laundry done and get the lunch done, and I'm trying to multitask and we're doing a task that requires a lot of concentration, and everyone starts to go crazy. What starts to come out for you or come to mind for you as you think about miserable times you've had in your homeschooling? Yeah, at the back.
We've been gone all day doing fun things, and I've decided that today we're still going to accomplish the schoolwork that I had planned on doing before we bailed to go to the
Perfect. I love it. Okay, gone all day doing fun things and then insisting.
Because we're exhausted because
everyone's tired, tired. Yeah. Hungry, probably sunburned. Yes. And now open the math book and let's begin. Adeline, you had your hand up too.
So during opening, when mom kind of loses it, this is opening of the day. Mom loses it, goes to her room, slams her door, locks the door. She's in there for hours before notes start being slipped under the door. Mom, we're so sorry. I'm like, oh, we learned something today.
Okay. Oh, perfect. Okay. So mom's frustrated in her room, and then the notes get handwritten with good punctuation and spelling under mom's door, pleading for her to come back. Yeah.
When we just have to, we're there minding our own business, having a perfectly good lesson, and somebody took the wrong pencil or
The one with the eraser. The only one in the house with the eraser. And that was mine. And didn't you see my name on it?
Or an infinite variation.
There are so many variations of that same argument. Yes. And you're like, well, why can't you sit in this chair? Because I like the other chair. They're all the same chairs.
And then we take a break from math class to spend 30 minutes on emotional resilience.
Exactly. The emotional resilience. The emotional resilience, the forgiveness, and no longer are we focused on the task we're on at hand. Yeah. What else comes to mind with misery? Yes.
Okay, so my kids like predictability, and if we're doing like a science unit, and after the science unit they have, you know, they usually have like what we call an extension for the older kids, but today it's not an extension, which I didn't think would be a problem. It's something else, and I have to like do something on the computer with them, and some of my kids
Sure. They're depending on you.
It has happened and I did not see it coming.
Totally.
They were not expecting that.
Something unexpected. Yes. So, and then you're having to change gears and it's not quite going the way that you hoped. Yeah.
Yes.
The predictability gets off. Definitely. I've definitely been there. Yeah.
Giving my kids a laundry list of things they must do and they don't have a choice in.
No choices. No choices. Yes, this all has to be done and it has to be done yesterday.
In order.
In order, and I want it signed in triplicate. I have done those requirements myself. It makes for a very miserable homeschool day. And really, what the truth of it is, we all know how to create miserable homeschool days because we have been there. And so we are all qualified to teach this class, right? I was so inspired when I picked up Randy Patterson's How to Have a Miserable Day, 40 Strategies You Already Know and Love. Well, it's like, this book is talking to me. He doesn't have anything to do with homeschooling, but it is a really fun read. It's very satirical, and it really helped me reflect on the strategies I use in my own home. His number one, what do you think his number one is? Strategy for being miserable, having a miserable day.
Wake up.
Waking up. Expectations. These are...
Getting
out. Sorry, what was that one?
Following the schedule
creates misery. Is that what you're thinking? Yeah, he was saying really the number one way to create a more miserable day is to be tired. And really your fatigue is going to create more misery. And so Randy Patterson has an unusual job where he is a mental health professional working with hospitalized mental health patients. So they're severe enough that they can't manage their daily life and they need a staff of support. And he will say to them, how's your day so far? And then he'll be like, what do you think we could do to make your day worse? And everyone has ideas about how they could make their day worse. And he's like, well, knowing all those things, why does it sound so similar to what's already happened? If you knew that those things would make your day worse. And I look at that with my own homeschooling and I think, ah, I have done that to myself. When I knew, whenever I put that time limit on and I'm doing the dishes and I'm, you know, and the stove is running and get that out of the oven before it burns. And of course that creates misery. So when I pause and think about exactly the kind of day I want to create, I know what it feels like. Why don't you guys tell me how it feels when you guys have had a really smooth homeschool day? What are some of the adjectives that come to mind or some of the actions that you've taken in your home when it's all going well?
Disbelief.
There are times of surprise for me as well when you're like, that worked. Today it worked. Why did it not work on other days? Because sometimes it seems the same. Yeah.
Simplicity.
Great. I love it. Yeah. Not trying to multitask. Yeah.
Slow.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
And it was very clear about what the expectations were.
There was the clarity you had, the clarity you expressed.
Epiphanies and excitement.
I love that. They had the time to understand, ask a few questions. They got it. Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Anything else come to mind? Yeah.
I would say easy. Like you're not toiling and working and like trudging through the mud. For some reason, things just open up. Like kids are happy and you're like teaching and everything is just flowing well.
That's great. Easy. You're teaching. There's no mud involved. I like the drudgery through the mud. Yes.
I haven't homeschooled yet, but my days as a mom go better when I'm prepared.
Days go better when you're prepared. Yeah, definitely.
The flexibility,
meaning for you.
You can have a schedule, but you can tweak it, stop here, and then pick up later.
And so you're stopping, you're picking up later, maybe you're changing gears. Oh, actually, let's do this first, and then we'll come back around. Yeah, and that option to be flexible, which is probably, I know for me, one of the reasons why I chose to homeschool, right? And how often I forget to give myself that gift of that flexibility, right? Yeah, I love it. Yes?
Employing my children's agency.
Employing your children's agency as opposed to the coercion strategy, which never works as well. Yes.
Celebrating each other's victories.
Yes, absolutely. I love that. Celebrating each other's victories. That makes for a good homeschool day. Definitely. Yeah, thank you. And I'm happy to have you guys chime in as we go along. As I prepared for this talk, I asked some of my friends some of the things that had made them really miserable as well. And although we've listed plenty of ideas, maybe we can just review a few other really miserable strategies. Not the mother not going to bed on time, the mother not being intentional with her time, not having a plan for dinner actually can create a pretty miserable day, even though dinner feels far off. Dealing with self-care for the mom, getting in an argument with a child, like about punctuation perhaps, or like when it's actually a predicate noun or a predicate adjective, just as an idea. Raising in the kitchen constantly, like everyone's coming and eating all day long and there's dishes all across and apple cores that have been, like the apples are gone but the apple cores are all there. I don't know how there's like 20 apple cores
under the couch
as well. Just really the overall life plan and routine, the schedule, the challenge of being, when to be flexible, when to not be flexible, like when to be like, no, I said we're doing math first, we're going to do math, and when to say, oh, sure, you want to start with reading your book out loud, we can do that. So I definitely think that those things ring true for me. So I came up with three main categories, and my handout should be through the QR code that's on the back of your name tag. So one of the things that I came up with was resistance. So for me, I'm defining a miserable homeschool day as something I kind of self-sabotaged because I actually really like homeschooling and I want to continue homeschooling. And so sometimes I know I make it a little bit difficult for myself. So I'm calling that a self-limiting behavior, which is when I'm working against my own best interest and the best interest of my children as well. And this for me shows up as resistance. I don't really want to change what I know I need to change. I kind of want to conform to the plan I've already made. I'm kind of feeling a little stagnant, a little stuck. I have some doubt, some disillusionment. I'm kind of unspecific with my plan, and most importantly, smile-free. It's like the smile-free zone. It's like only serious faces. We are just going to get it done. Like, it is all mud. No dry paths here, right? For me, this also shows up as excuses. We don't have enough supplies. We don't have that one pencil that we're looking for, that everyone, that was their favorite pencil as well. Or I tell myself, I'm not really qualified to teach this. I'm not even sure I understand it myself, or I don't think I have enough support. I don't have a mentor. I start to tell myself, I'm not good at this. I'm not very good at writing. I'm not very good at math. My background, my personal background makes teaching this subject harder. I don't think I can do it. Or, oh, I have so many other responsibilities. I don't think I can do it. I'm starting to blame dropping connections with my children because I'm focused so much on making those excuses for myself. These are some of the things I feel like self-limit. Another thing that shows up for me is stall, that inertia where it's just the same tedious work, and it's like, now we're on page 27, do all the odds, get it done. Like, there is, it's just getting through it. Or for me, this also shows up as doing nothing. I'll be like, oh, we really should learn more about the life cycle of the frog, but I don't know where we'll begin, or I want it to be a really grand project. And so instead of just doing one step, we don't do anything. We have abundant distractions, unrealistic expectations, just a stupor, quantity of decisions. Or I end up doing substitute work, where instead of doing the work on that thing, I'm like, oh, well, before I can look at the frog research, we really needed to finish something else. And we never end up getting to the task. I don't like it when it feels that way. One of the quotes I have here from Randy Patterson says, some of the misery is optional. And I think that's really true for us with homeschooling. Some of the misery we feel is optional. We don't have to have these miserable homeschool days. And that's the gift that we're giving ourselves by choosing to homeschool. One of the strategies he says here is, believe it's about gifts and talents, not skill, and announce you have neither. And I really like that, because a lot of times with homeschooling, we do start to say, oh, I would be a good homeschooler if, but oh, I can't be a good homeschooler because, and instead we actually just get to say, I'm a good homeschooler and I can create these beautiful homeschool days for my family because I have so much choice. So if there's one thing you remember from me today, I hope that you remember that you have the power to create this day. And I feel like for me, I create a better day depending on how I talk to myself about what's going on in my day. And I can create my own resiliency through my patterns of thinking and speaking to myself. So I came up with a rather lengthy chart that's in the handout online, but maybe we can talk it through a little bit together. Maybe you guys have said some of these things to yourself. So you tell me and chime in when you hear one that resonates with you. One of the things that I often feel is like, so I have three categories here on the handout. My fear, my fearful self-talk, and then my audacity. Because in my opinion, homeschooling is one of the most audacious things we can do. And we're really stepping forward and saying, I can overcome my fears. So the first fear I have is like feeling like the heavy demands of homeschooling are going to burn me out. And I start to say to myself, I don't feel like I have the strength to continue doing it. Or, oh, this textbook again, I've already done this with an older child. Didn't work out perfectly. I have to do it 5 more times. I'm not sure I can keep going. Or frankly, I'm just not enjoying this. Sometimes I say these things to myself, but instead my audacity is when I say something to myself like, homeschooling allows me to pace at the speed that best suits me and my child. I can rest when I need to. We can go as fast as it is appropriate for this child and I to pace. I can customize and change my approach so that my child and I both enjoy it. Or let's try another fear. As a homeschooler, how can I fit it all in? How will I be able to take care of myself, attend to the meals and shopping, offer service, find sanity? And so my fearful self-talk in that case is homeschooling is an additional responsibility when I'm already overwhelmed. And as we know, an optional additional responsibility. None of us have to be homeschooling. And so we all feel like we could change what we're doing. So my audacity in that case would be homeschooling is a chance to invite my child to share in the responsibilities in managing our household, or an opportunity for me to simplify. Sometimes my fear sounds like, what will other people think of me? Will they see my homeschooling efforts as valid and acceptable? And my self-talk is like, I'm not qualified, or other families probably do this better than I do. My audacity sounds more like homeschooling is an opportunity to change myself and to improve my learning. I'm uniquely suited to help my own child. My child needs me. Or sometimes my fear sounds like, will my child be excluded from friendships? And my fearful self-talk is, we will be excluded from, we will never have close friends. No one will like us. We'll always be the outsider homeschooler family. Sometimes my audacity sounds like, I can be a good friend to my child. I can find satisfaction in my own company and teach my child to do the same, or I have the opportunity to handpick my friends. What stands out to you, especially with this fear of loneliness? Sometimes I worry that my audacity in that case still sounds really pessimistic, like, but the reality is, especially I think homeschooling high school, there's not always a group of people for your high schooler to connect with. And really by stepping away from a lot of those main systems, there is more loneliness. How have you responded to that fear or challenge?
So that's one of my fears as well. My oldest will be 16, so I'm like, but what I've thought about is reflected back on my experience through high school, and I have like maybe 3 close friends that I'm still in touch with. Out of the 100 that I knew, right, or had contact with. So you just need, so that's like a comforting thought. And something I pray for and ask God to help fulfill for my children is give them that one good friend. The one good friend they can go back to every time, because no matter, the one good friend that distance won't separate, you know?
Beautiful. Thank you. Yeah, so thinking not just needing a quantity of friends, but needing one good friend and really praying for that to be answered here. And then, yeah, we'll work around the room.
Sorry.
Back row first. Okay. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, honestly, like the loneliness thing, to me, that's one of the blessings of being homeschooled, is that I kind of get to pick and choose my kids' friends. So, you know, in public school, they're exposed to so many different things and so many different kids, and I don't want her to be around those kinds of influences. And so it's nice that as homeschoolers, we can kind of like help them to navigate that, because my kid is, I mean, she's young, but she's not ready to do that on her own.
Okay, great. I love that. Yeah, so getting to handpick friends, yeah. Being able to really consider the loneliness as a blessing. Kate, back corner, and then we'll come here, and then we'll come on this side.
In my case, I've got 2 teenagers that are currently homeschooling, and I've got elementary school kids that homeschool. I took the opportunity to start a group that encompassed everyone in my area.
Perfect.
Because we were excluded by, because of
things. Exactly. There are so many reasons to be excluded, right? Yeah.
Right. So we created our own group and it flourished, and they've got the friends they need.
Perfect, great. So starting your own group, and then right here, yes.
Sorry, I'm just floored by how many people told me they're excluded because they're LDS. That's just, whoa.
Are you new to homeschooling?
No, we've been doing it for about 10 years, but I fall into 2 categories of loneliness, if you will. We're from the Miami, Florida area, not a lot of Latter-day Saints, and if you are a homeschooler, you're not a Latter-day Saint. Like, the 2 is just super rare. I haven't met, if anybody knows anybody from Florida, that'd be great.
I'm from Florida. Right here.
What? But we don't live there anymore.
We don't count.
Great.
Do I count?
Yeah, you totally count.
Okay. This is my new friend.
Great. Great. Good, good.
lost my train of thought.
2 right. Kinds of loneliness.
So we're surrounded, even though we don't have a homeschooling Latter-day Saint, or I mean Christian groups, but we have a homeschool family, but because we're lonely in our niche, we reach out other ways if we need that social interaction, to the sports, to the church. We did do Boy Scouts, so the church just, you know, went away from that. But just good neighborhood friends, and we only need like 1 or 2.
Okay, and great. So reaching out, yeah.
We lived in super rural Idaho growing up, and they're just weren't friends. Mm-hmm. So our siblings were our friends, and they're such good friends.
Great. Okay, so really finding friends in the neighborhood, and then really connecting with your family. Great. Yeah, right here, and then we'll go to the
this
back.
It probably varies by state, but we're from Ohio, and homeschool students are allowed to participate in all the activities and even classes in the public school system. So that's something that that we employed when our oldest daughter decided that she only ended up homeschooling for a year, but she was still in marching band. She was doing in clubs. She was doing other activities, and she had 1 or 2 classes that weren't classes that we could really teach very well, that are better in a kind of in a classroom situation. And so if your state has those opportunities, don't rule those out.
Great, great, good experience with the state opportunities. Great, and being able to opt in Ohio. Back row, yeah.
I was just gonna say how as homeschoolers, we get the opportunity to consider what each of our kids need in all areas, not just academic. And the education becomes more holistic than just
absolutely
reading, writing, arithmetic. And so I found there have been times where social life was going great, and there have been other times where, you know, maybe one kid has some good friends and the other kid doesn't have any that are their ages. And my husband and I have taken that to prayer a lot and say, okay, one of the needs right now for this kid is a really good friend or a really good group of friends, and what can we do about that? And is it time to even move houses? Or is it time to consider a different kind of activity where they might have a chance? And we've had some that we thought might be the answer and then have kind of flopped. And,
okay, great.
But
yeah.
Always take any of these miserable things and these fears to God and help him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So turning to God with the misery, the fear, the worry about the child, and being willing to consider any solution. Great. Yes.
My daughter went through a phase like that where she couldn't be with her friends enough.
She couldn't be with friends enough. Okay.
Right. So she always felt somewhat lonely. But then we used it as a learning experience of her learning who she is. And with time, within a couple of months, she's a very confident young lady. She does not get influenced by anybody. She knows what she wants to be, what she wants to do. And a lot of that was for just showing her that it's okay to focus on herself and work on herself when she's.
Beautiful. So really helping her recognize that this loneliness time could help her become more confident. Great. Let's see, yellow shirt. Yeah. Yes, that's you. Yeah.
No, I have a daughter who is actually extremely social. And when we moved away from some really close friends, we moved into a ward where she was the only young woman her age. There was somebody 2 years older. There was someone 2 years younger. So someone 2 years younger was her sibling. And, we prayed and fasted, her friend, and she was in sports. Like, well, we did all these things, but they didn't have the same standards, and she's like, well, I'm not that close. And I don't know, but after, like, literally years of this, we both realized that God was doing something in her life, right? And I think the same point you're making. Loneliness isn't necessarily a bad thing.
Great.
It's just like the way boredom isn't necessarily a bad thing, because it challenges us to rise to creativity. And so loneliness was a challenge that actually God put in their life. Like, my other kids all had, like, friends at church. Like, it was like he, like, carved out the space around her, like, sorry, you don't get friends, sorry, you know? And, like, it was hard for her, but it was powerful learning experience. And she's become, she just was like, well, I'm the only, like, I'm, like, the oldest. And very soon the older girls graduated. She was the oldest girl at church. She's like, I'm going to make sure nobody else is lonely.
Oh, wow, that's
great. And so
great.
She was aware of boys and girls. Every young woman's and young men's activity, she's looking, who's standing on the wall? Who can I go talk to?
Wow.
And she just became a really powerful influence for unifying our youth group.
Wow.
Because she'd been through years of being
of that loneliness. Thank you. And I'll try and recap it a little bit for our recording, but that really finding that loneliness was a blessing for her because she was able to notice others that were lonely, even though her loneliness didn't get taken away. Thanks for sharing.
So we are recently re-moved back to Tennessee about a year ago, and my oldest son has a recent diagnosis of high functioning autism, although I've known it since he was a child, but nobody would listen to me. And he has never really had friends, like, ever, his whole life, and didn't bother him until about a year and a half ago he finally noticed. And my second son is shy until he finally gets to know people, and then he's very social. And I was a little nervous about bringing them here yesterday,
yeah,
just to see, like, how they would do if Chandler would just sit by himself the whole time and not be willing to get to know people because,
sure,
he's shy,
yeah,
the whole time, and if James would just kind of alienate everyone because he does tend to be very loud and not understand that he's being very loud. And he did all the things, and he was totally accepted.
That's so great. I'm so glad you had a good experience.
And yeah, interacting with everybody, and they were so kind, and he's been having a wonderful time, and it didn't take Chandler long to
Great.
Get right in there. And on the way back to the hotel last night, they were like, this is amazing. These are our people. They were so thrilled.
So LDSAT was a little help for a balm for the loneliness. Yes. Thanks for sharing. Yeah.
All right. One thought that I had to piggyback off of hers was the loneliness can be a good thing. It can also help them identify the good friends from the not.
Definitely.
Especially if you're moving from a public school environment to a homeschool environment, the shallow friends just disappear.
Okay, and great. Yeah.
Shallow friendships, that's one thing.
That the loneliness can help distinguish between good friends and bad friends. Yeah.
I think the loneliness rebuilt our relationship.
The loneliness allowed more space for the parent-child relationship to strengthen.
In our first year, and this had been, they had gone kind of their own way, and it felt us where they could trust, and they could just come.
Thank you. Yeah,
really
yeah, definitely. Wow, thank you so much. I really appreciate what you guys shared there. A lot of things I hadn't even considered myself. I'm not sure anyone wants to make their kid lonely, for sure. But there are definitely things that we can tell ourselves about what we're experiencing and what our children are experiencing that can change what's going on. So just before the pandemic, my family and I had the chance to travel. And we were traveling in Europe without a vehicle. So we did 3 months without a vehicle of any kind. So we were exclusively public transportation for 3 months. And one of our biggest concerns was pickpockets. We really didn't want anything stolen, especially since we were traveling really light. And so we did a lot of pickpocket education with my kids. One of my daughters is a type 1 diabetic and needs to always have medical equipment with her. So we got a bag, a purse that had deterrent straps that couldn't be cut through with a knife, that had like a steel cable and locking zippers on the bags, and we were also making sure what was in our pockets and having the, you know, hidden zippers under our pants and all these things we'd gone through about pickpockets. We even watched this video. One of the cities we visited was Barcelona, and Barcelona is very high for pickpockets, and there's this Barcelona resident who had created a video. She went around, she was just a really outward thinking person, and went around with a whistle and would blow and yell, pickpocket, pickpocket, when she saw all these pickpockets in the station. She would just spend time in the stations blowing her whistle so that all these unaware travelers would be aware of all the pickpockets. And I think we need that in our homeschool experiences, because the old adage is comparison is the thief of joy. But I actually think comparison is a pickpocket. It's more than just a thief. But when we start looking at other people and what they're doing with their homeschool, we start thinking, my word, that's what they're doing? And before we know it, what is essential to us has been taken out of our pocket because we're so focused on what they're doing over there. And I think comparison is one of my worst enemies, especially when it comes to homeschooling. Mm-hmm. When we see what's posted on social media or even what can happen here at the conference, we start to think, I am not like these other homeschoolers, and if only I could be more like that homeschooler, or if only my child was more like that child, our happiness just evaporates. What has been your experience with comparison, and how have you bolstered against that pickpocket of joy and helped keep yourself more centered and less miserable? Adeline.
Trusting that when you do what you're inspired to do, that Heavenly Father will fill in the cracks and you don't need to worry about anything else, just what He's telling you to do.
Trusting that Heavenly Father is going to guide you for your family. Jessica, and then we'll go to the back.
Yeah, I was going to say really similar to what Adeline said, was that, right, like, I'm the mom Heavenly Father gave to these kids, right? So I need to do my best. I need to not ignore them or, right, but I'm the one that gets to do it, and I'm going to do it my way, and that's okay. Like, Heavenly Father gave me that stewardship, and so I don't have to do it the way anyone else does, because I really am not capable of it.
This is so true. So trusting how much God entrusted you with these specific children and your responsibility for them.
Yes, I love those answers, and I think that's like the basis for then an action you can take, which is don't talk about it. Don't, like, my husband told me this one time, he's like, don't tell me about another person's homeschool anymore. Just do what you're doing because it's great. Because it was making me feel so bad. And so I find myself trying to compliment the other people. If someone's sharing about what their homeschool day is like or whatever, I try to do, let me compliment you. And then all of a sudden, I'm not standing in the negative comparison spot anymore. I'm standing in a gratitude spot, in a place where I can give out positivity and compliments, you know? And I think that's like, with this faith and trust as your basis, then you can stand and do that action.
I love that. So taking the comparison and making it more of gratitude and being able to offer compliment and love to the other person. That's really beautiful.
Well, I've been homeschooling for so long that I can fall into the trap of comparing my today self to my
exactly
mom. Falling I had a whole bunch of little tiny kids self.
Yes,
how involved I was with everything, and then now I think
noticing the differences
between. I'm not sitting with everyone for hours a day. I'm doing a horrible job when they're fine doing their own thing all day.
I'm not reading aloud. I'm not doing what I did when they were younger. I'm different now. They're different now. Yeah, definitely. That's a great point. Yes.
One thing that's helped me overcome that comparison is remembering that these are first and foremost God's children. Mm-hmm. They're Heavenly Father's children on loan to me. And as such, I can turn to Him for every answer when in need. And that is the only comparison.
Thank you. Yeah.
And I'm measuring up to what He wants these children.
Okay. So really being confident that God will direct you, that they're His children, with a brief period of trust for you to be able to do that. Thank you. Another strategy that I often use to overcome this tendency I have to compare is savoring and really trying to enjoy what we're doing right now rather than thinking so much about what someone else is doing. And for me, savoring looks like doing one thing and not trying to multitask. So for me, one of the changes I've made in my homeschool recently is to just have one child by my side at a time. And that extends our homeschool day a bit, but I really like to just have this one child, one thing. As I've continued savoring this one child in this one moment, one strategy that's helped me a lot is noticing their questions. I really appreciated in the class that we had just before this, it's Jessica, right? What Jessica shared about her 12-year-old daughter saying that her daughter, that you had kept track of your daughter's question, why does Marilla never praise Anne for doing good? And I loved that you shared that with us. I actually started a question journal where I would write down the questions my children were asking. And for me, that was a whole new way of directing their education and being able to say, here's what they're interested in, and that's what I want in my homeschool experience. That takes all the misery away because I'm focusing on them, I'm listening to them, and really paying attention to them. It stops me from falling into the trap of, these pages have to be done. I'm just really listening to what they're learning. What are some of the other strategies you have for savoring your homeschool day and for really digging into enjoying what you're doing with your children? Adeline.
It's been said before, but just taking it slow and enjoying. Just
taking it slow.
Because that's what life is made of.
Enjoying the moments. Yeah, definitely. Yes.
See how far they come. Maybe if it's a little step, a little lesson.
Being able to mark progress in some way. And how are your favorite ways to mark progress? What do you usually do? Just know this.
I mean, we celebrate their accomplishments. And when my older daughter is able to teach the younger, her brothers, that makes her feel very confident.
An older child teaching the younger, being able to see their confidence in the material, definitely. Yeah. I think that all of these contribute to our definition of success. And I think that's one of the most important things and sometimes the most difficult thing as a homeschooler, to define your own success. Do you guys feel like it's easy for you to think about what success is? Can you easily say, I know I've had a successful day when?
When we're not fighting.
Okay, yeah. When we're not fretting by breakfast, yes. Having calm, keeping your priorities. Yeah, definitely.
Magical.
When you've had that feeling of control over your own self, your own resilience, even though the house is burning down.
When I and my children are not mentally and emotionally exhausted.
So when you're not at that level of fatigue where you can't even, yeah, you're numb to feeling, yeah.
There's a quote from a session yesterday that I wrote down that someone said, if the only thing you've accomplished all day is scripture study, you still had a successful day.
Okay, so one definition of success would be only thing accomplishing is scripture study. Okay, so I wrote down a couple of things that came to mind for me. And so you guys can even do a little thumbs up, thumbs down about whether or not you agree with them. I'd love to have your feedback. For me, success is easily identifiable progress. It's easy for me to identify and it's easy for the kid to identify. I love it when the kid sits down and is like, huh, this was hard yesterday, today not as hard. Like, I love the easily identifiable progress. For me, success is also single task. Homeschooling, like that is like concentration. Anytime we have a moment of concentration, that is like really happy for me. I like feeling like we had concentration. I think, of course, completing a difficult coursework cycle, even, I mean, of course, there are times when we can set down the textbook, as Jessica was telling us, but I think when we have that feeling of satisfaction, like, I did this huge, hard textbook. Look, like, that is success for me. I think a broad education with many areas of study, that also feels like success. I think cooperating, collaborating, feeling like the child and I are in it together. I think one of my other definitions of success is really being able to laugh together and really enjoying it. And I think that goes back to savoring it. If I have enough time to listen to them laugh and what they think is funny, and that is really joyful for me. I think success is being bolstered by friendship, whether it's adult friendship or the children's friendship or a friendship within our family. I think it's also really successful when we remember and apply, when we can remember other subjects and bring them together. I think it's also having the organization to have that one pencil that has the one eraser, or the post-it notes, or the stapler, and having the supplies I need and saying, oh, I know right where that is, let's go get it. That feels successful to me in my homeschool day. I also think it's the schedule feeling just right. Having our priorities met, not being overcommitted. I think it's when we're taking time for ourselves, we're doing our scripture study, we have our time for physical movement, good time for meals. I think really overall success is our emotional resilience and self-regulation. Any other definitions of success that come to mind for you?
Another one is if the child does not want to stop what you're doing. That can happen in any subject, but they're like wanting more.
The success of having the child just really thirsty, really desiring the material. That is. I also think another definition is having the child surpass the adult. And this year I had a really exciting moment with my daughter, who's here with us right now, when she understood this calculus problem and explained it to me. And I was so proud of her. I was like, no, I don't think you solve it that way. Let me think about it. And she's like, oh, I'll just write it out for you, Mom, since you don't understand. And I was so proud of her to have her surpass me in my ability. I think success is continuing to homeschool. And I think just pressing forward, that opportunity to pick yourself up each day and try it again, that feels like success in our homeschool. So I think that just going back to these ideas about talking to yourself about the misery that you could possibly experience in your homeschool, I think really experiencing that flow and concentration has been important to me. And also, making sure that we're not overcommitted. As we end the conference, here we are. We just have the keynote between us and the graduation. So what ideas are you guys taking home from what you've experienced? I think that's one of the things that can create my misery, is at the end of a conference going, I now have 3 pages of notes from every speaker. I have 300 ideas. What's next? And that feeling of overwhelm. So to help us narrow down on that and prevent the misery that could come, what are the one thing that you guys are taking away from conference? What's one thing that you want to change?
My intention.
Your intention. Tell me more.
I'm new to homeschooling. This is only my second year.
Are you? Okay.
And we're in the middle of trying to settle into new to us house project.
So you've moved and you're new to homeschooling.
Yeah. And doing this, and so it's been wonderful that this, you know, my friends were talking, they're like, but you can just make school be what we need. I needed Jessica's refresher that it's okay to just let life be what it is right now. But I really felt prompted that I need to be intentional. I only have 2 kids left out of 7. And to make sure that they are prepared for life beyond home.
So really wanting to make sure you're careful with your 2 children that are left and wanting to help them feel prepared. Thank you for sharing that. Are there other takeaways you guys are going home from conference with?
Mine is to focus more on relationships.
Focus more on relationships with your children. Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
I actually got specific inspiration on how to teach a subject I'm not that great at.
Okay.
Like, I just had these ideas come to me from different talks on, I'm like, I'm not that great at teaching this. I struggle with it every year, and I just got all these little tidbits of like, okay, let's try this, and helps me put together a plan then for that subject.
Great. So you felt more empowered on a specific subject. Great.
I'm taking away slow down and allow my kids the agency to choose their own.
Great. The focus on agency, slowing it down. Yeah.
that I made the right choice.
That you made the right choice. I love that. That's your takeaway. Did you have your hand up as well?
Yes. Being more intentional with my example. So I did some specific things that will enhance the principles that I want to come away with. So one of the principles was being a 100% example. I do scripture study every day, but it's not often as intentional.
Okay.
I would like, and so I vowed to do 15 minutes at least of solid intentional things where I'm going to be writing things down.
Great. So more intentional in your personal study and really writing it down and keeping track of those ideas. Great. Yes.
This is a little more short term, but my time at LVSHE this week has significantly helped my sacrament meeting talk for Sunday, so I'm grateful for that.
All right. Okay. Great. I love it. Your sacrament meeting talk. And yeah, I appreciate the chance we have to share our faith as well. And one of the things that I was remembering as well, as my daughter was reminding me of how many conference talks there are, where at the end of conference, they're telling you not to get overwhelmed with Monday. I was thinking about Elder Holland in April 2016, tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And I thought I could share a little bit how he's talking about, you know, here we are at the end of conference. He was the last speaker that year, and he was saying, here we are. We want to hold on to the spiritual impressions we have, to the good feelings, but it's like Monday's going to come, and we're going to be overwhelmed on Monday, right? So how do we return to those less than ideal circumstances? He called it the post-illumination affliction that can come to us in all. He talks about the Mount Sinai experience for Moses, and he says, this is quoting from Elder Holland again, realizing that we all have to come down from peak experiences to deal with the regular vicissitudes of life. May I offer this general encouragement as General Conference concludes. First of all, in the days ahead, you not only see limitations in those around you, but also find elements in your own life that don't yet measure up to the messages you heard this weekend. Please don't be cast down in spirit and don't give up. The gospel, the church, and these wonderful semi-annual gatherings are intended to give hope and inspiration. They are not intended to discourage you. And of course, this isn't General Conference, but I think that definitely really applies. We shouldn't be walking away from conference feeling more discouraged. We shouldn't be feeling like it's depressing or unrealistic or only misery when we homeschool. But he says, Elder Holland continues to say it's Satan trying to convince us. And he does that because he knows he can't improve, he can't progress, that worlds without end, he will never have a bright tomorrow. He is a miserable man bound by eternal limitations, and he wants you to be miserable too. So when you think about having a miserable homeschool day, I hope that you can pause and help yourself turn around and remember to not compare and to remember to savor what you have and to have that audacity to change the thoughts that you're telling yourself, to really make it easier to do what you want to do and harder not to do it. And just to remember most of all that most of the misery is optional. Thank you very much.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this record. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.